inner hall of life.
Me and my squad, yeah, we stepping out. Step out, step out, step out, step out, step out. When you see a nigga, step out.
Welcome to the Inner Hoe Uprising.
This is a podcast about sex, love, and dating from black hoes,
feminist
hoes, polyamorous hoes.
Woke hoes this week.
Yeah, extremely woke hoes. Although we're always woke.
Yeah, we are. I'm Sam.
I'm Shanika.
And we're Slam Pow Productions, hosts of this podcast, and we're also recording from Skype today because Lucas is busy. But yeah, so we're here doing a very special episode that we'll get into in a little bit. But first, if you would like to live tweet or whatever you live do this podcast, you can do so using the hashtag InnerHoeUprising. And our hoe of the week is...
We actually have 81 hoes of the week.
So many hoes.
We get 81 new listeners on SoundCloud. Thank you for all of you who are tuning in and commenting and liking things. And also thank you to the old hoes. That sounds terrible. The original hoes for spreading the word, because we're not advertising. So you guys and gals are the reason why people are picking up and hearing from us. So thank you so much for sharing us with the world.
My favoritest hoes. In addition to all that, guys, I don't know what we just opened up this podcast with, but it probably was a great song, but we're running low on songs, so if you guys would like to have your independent music featured in this podcast, you can do so by sending links to your stuff to ihupodcast@gmail.com.
And if you have music, and you've heard this call many times, and you haven't sent it to us, just do it.
Yeah, like, right?
Don't be all insecure about it. Don't be like, I don't know if it's good enough. I don't know if it's what they're looking for. Genre-wise, we want your fucking music.
Any genre. Anything. Your voice could sound like farts.
Like, lift every voice and sing dumb and farts.
Wait. Well, that might be what it opens up with. I just have to do it tonight. So dumb. So send your music, guys.
Yeah, please. Please. Okay. I'm ready.
All right. Well, yeah. So the format of our show is a little bit different today in light of recent events. The whole world is ending, and we treat black people and brown people like shit in this country.
Yeah.
So this week we are going to do a fuck that and a fuck it. Our fuck that is going to be on, you know, a sadder note, a very sad note, because we're going to be talking about everything that's happened this week, and our fuck it is going to lift you up, hopefully, because we're going to be talking about self-care and how to take care of yourself in these tough, tough times.
Yeah. So if you've been hearing a lot about police brutality and police shootings and it's upsetting to you, that's what we're talking about for the first chunk, but then we'll be here for you. We're here. We're taking care of you.
Trigger warning for police brutality, racialized violence, and all around not happy stuff. To skip to the happier portion of this episode, go about an hour and 11 minutes in.
Police brutality.
Yeah.
One of the biggest fuck that's of our time.
the biggest. Well, yeah. White supremacy is like the biggest fuck that of our time. White supremacy, patriarchy.
Capitalism.
How they operate together. Yeah, capitalism. I think our time is just fuck that.
This entire thing that we're living through right now.
Yeah.
My existence.
So how do we dive into this? I feel like everyone knows what has happened, but in case you live under a rock,
Are you avoiding it?
Huh?
Like, in case, so a lot of people, in case you're not aware, there have been major police shootings.
I don't want to be disrespectful.
Yeah.
But I always am.
In case you're a dumb bitch, this is what happened this week. Yeah, there's been some major police shootings or shooting of black men at the hands of police.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been everywhere. Mm-hmm. You may not know the details. But here they are for you.
Yeah. So on, I didn't even write them down because I was just like, everybody knows. But on July 5th, a man by the name of Alton Sterling was shot 6 times in the back by the police. The police were called. This happened in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. The police were called to respond to a call of someone think it was holding a gun. Am I making that up?
No, they said that he was holding a gun, or had a gun.
And so Alton Sterling was outside of a convenience store when the police arrived to the scene. He was selling CDs outside of the convenience store. I guess they apprehended him, got him on his back to handcuff him. Don't know why. Well, do know why, but whatever. When he was on his back, they shot him in the back 6 times. He died. The day after that happened, so this was already kind of like creating like fervor and tension, and I think people had protested that night. This was also the day after the 4th of July, and a lot of people question the 4th of July in general because it's a holiday that celebrates our independence as a country when many people in this country are not liberated or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's also very hot outside, so just like setting the stage for something to happen, you know? But the day after, everyone's like already pissed and upset. We are all online on July 6th, and a woman by the name of Diamond Reynolds, she goes by Lavish Reynolds on Facebook, started going on Facebook Live or whatever, and it was right after her boyfriend, a man by the name of Philando Castile, had been shot 4 times in the arm by an officer who pulled him over for what he said was a broken taillight. More information has been released, and he actually, well, the information that's been released was the police recording. The officer said that he had a wide nose, like a suspect that they were already trying to find, and that's actually why he pulled him over, but they told him that it was because of his broken taillight, and also, more information has been released, his taillight was not broken.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's just like a fucked up country that we live in. But, so they pull him over, they ask Philando Castile if he has a, weapon in the car. He says yes, he's a registered gun owner or whatever. I think the officer says don't draw the weapon or something. I could not watch the video. The officer says something along the lines of don't draw the weapon, but I want to see your license and registration. And either Philando is putting his hands up or getting his license and registration that the cop just fucking asked for, and the cop decides to load 4 bullets into his arm. And that's exactly when Diamond went on went on Facebook Live and fucking was just speaking to the officer extremely calmly and also speaking to us because she just, like, wanted everyone to know the situation. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I'm not sure if this is Philando's daughter or her daughter or their daughter together.
That was definitely her daughter. So after he was shot and she filmed it, they had her walk, like, backwards or whatever to the police car, and so they put her in the back of the police car. I don't remember or not if she was handcuffed or not. I feel like probably not because she was still
recording. She still had her
recording.
Phone. Yeah.
And then she had to ask, like, what are you doing with my daughter? Because now this young girl was just in a fucking police car with a dead person, like, with her dead loved one. So then they moved the daughter as well to the police car, and that's when the daughter was like, it's okay. Diamond started crying, and that's when her daughter said, it's okay, mommy, I'm here with you. That's when I started to tear up very insanely, because it's just like, damn, this little girl is trying to be a pillar of strength, the same way that a lot of black women have become, you know, these kinds of pillars of, you know, strength for, in the face of police brutality.
Ugh, my god. So yeah. Those two things happened, sparked massive protests across the country.
Mm-hmm.
Additionally, several other, I mean, someone gets killed by the cops every 28 hours, whether it's, like, signal boosted and protested for or not. Like, this is something that never stops. There's been, like, I think it's, 136 people have been killed, black people have been killed by the police this year so far. And I think 126 specifically have been shot. The other 10 are, like, while they were in police custody or something like that.
God.
So yeah, this never stopped, but for whatever reason, obviously, you know, social media and images of it and just it being on tape in general has, like, made it, like, sparked this whole new movement once again or whatever that we were seeing, like, last year with Freddie Gray and that we saw the year before with Ferguson. But there's just, like, a lot to talk about. But yeah, also, like, in the course of this week, other people have died. Like, recently, somebody was killed by an off-duty cop here in New York.
Yeah.
Was
that yesterday? Or no?
I don't think it was yesterday. I think this actually happened right before. Alton Sterling was killed.
Oh,
but it just like didn't gain the same amount of traction. Doesn't mean it's like any less important or whatever, but it's just like
it's kind of
arbitrary the way it's kind of arbitrary the way things are shared or whatever. Yeah. Except for when it comes to like Black women who are being killed by police, because aside from Sandra Bland, there really hasn't, like, no one really knows their names or whatever. Granted, mm-hmm. it does happen at a much lower rate, but it still does happen or whatever.
Exactly. Black women's lives matter.
Yeah.
Black trans women, Black trans lives matter. You know, we're going to get into all, mm-hmm. all that.
And then I guess the last current piece of news is the shooting in Dallas that happened, which was, there was like a protest, a Black Lives Matter protest in response to, people say the recent wave of killings, but it's just like the highly publicized killings, really. That's like the only difference. Yeah. And a lone wolf killed 5 cops and shot 11 in total.
And for anyone who has any misconceptions, this shooter has nothing to do with the Black Lives Matter movement and should not be associated with any sort of militant, I don't know, like Black Lives Matter faction or anything. Mm-hmm. He is completely and entirely disassociated from that.
Like, just in case you think that we're being glib or ignorant or whatever, it would just be stupid for Black Lives Matter protesters to arrange to have this guy take out 11 cops at a protest. You know? Like, strategically, that doesn't even make any sense, because obviously they are going to be implicated for it.
Yeah, you know? and people could get hurt, you know, and if, you know, Black Lives Matter, we're not out here trying to get hurt.
Exactly. They're not going to, like, arrange an attack that's going to affect most of the people there, number one. But then number two, it's dumb. So we are the Inner Hoe Uprising, and obviously every podcast that you listen to this week is in some way or another going to talk about this issue. But because we kind of approach things from this intersectional, pro-ho, Black feminist, womanist perspective, we're going to kind of engender the conversation about police brutality and, like, intersectionalize. Don't know if that's a word. It should be.
It is a word.
Great. This conversation. So where should we start?
The Black Lives Matter, who founded it, you know?
Like, okay, yeah. So when these things occur, these police killings and instances of, like, violence, I guess since 2014, I think that's when Black Lives Matter was founded, we've been using this hashtag and kind of, like, overarching term for the movement, and it's obviously Black Lives Matter. And if you don't know, you should, because we've said this on the podcast at least 3 times, but the Black Lives Matter movement and hashtag in general was founded by 3 queer Black women, Alicia Garza, Opal Tometi, and Patrice Cullors. And I don't know, it's just kind of like this thread throughout any instance of police brutality where you see Black women and brown women, but Black women on, like, the front lines, and they're the ones who, like, organize and arrange protests and, like, signal boost instances of things happening and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I just think that it's important to remember these women in the first place, but also just because oftentimes it's Black women, Black trans women, Black queer women who are putting their bodies and lives and time on the lines to, like, uplift these issues or whatever and have people talk about it and arrange for policy. It's just not cisgender, straight Black men are the ones who are prominently affected by police brutality and police violence, and they don't treat the people who uplift the issue of police brutality and police violence well at all, you know?
Yeah, yeah, like, we're standing up for you, why the fuck are you, like, not looking out for us? Or, it's like, I feel like if you were to look at the Black Lives Matter movement, just, like, hearing it on the news, you know, there's a lot, it's so much, you know, like, Black men are being attacked and killed by police, but, like, you would have no idea that it was happening to it's happening to Black women as well, queer people, and you wouldn't know that, like, women founded it.
Yeah, there's just, like, there's so much to unpack, because it's, like, it does have, oh, I have the stat here or whatever.
Yeah.
Black males I'll just read it. It's from a HuffPost article. Police arrest and kill black men at far higher rates than other groups. 6 out of 10 black men claim that they've been treated unfairly by police because of their race. Based on the counted data, whatever the counted is, black males between the ages of 15 and 34 were 9 times more likely to be killed by police officers than any other demographic. This group also accounted for 15% of all of the 2015 deaths from law enforcement encounters, despite making up just 2% of the population. So, like, when people say it's black men who are dying, like, majority it is, and that's an important thing to remember and realize. But that doesn't mean we leave everyone else out of the conversation, especially when people who are driving the conversation forward are oftentimes queer people and black women.
Exactly. We're super vulnerable as well, particularly like trans women of color are extremely vulnerable.
Exactly. Like, so, just because we are not being shot by the police at the same rates, it doesn't mean that we are not being sexually harassed by the police, brutalized by the police. In recent years, black women have been incarcerated, I think, double the rate of black men.
Yeah.
And then it also doesn't mean that, like, within our own communities, black men are treating us like shit.
Yeah. Yeah, what is it? Misogynoirism?
Yeah, misogynoir.
Right? Yeah, say that one more time. So
misogynoir.
Like, yeah, it's like specifically treating black women, black femmes, like shit.
Yeah, I just want to, should I just read this thing? My argument that I had? It's just so, like, here and here. That's why I had to write it down, because I just kept thinking about it in the shower, and I was like, I don't know how to say this. Okay, so, I guess when we talk about, like, the police killing black people, something that people often say is, like, well, what about black-on-black crime? And that's totally a derailing statement. One, because people often bring it up just to derail the topic of police brutality. Like, they don't actually care about black people killing other black people and why that happens. They just want to stop people from talking about the fact that police kill black men at a higher rate.
Yeah.
And then also it's a bullshit argument because just intra-racially, like, between the races, violence happens. Like, white people kill more white people than other people, and black people kill more black people than other people, just because of how we live and are located in this country.
Yeah.
But
it doesn't mean that, like, we should overlook the issues of, black violence towards, like black men to black women. Like, you know, it doesn't mean that these problems aren't, like, meaningful things.
Exactly. So if you talk about, like, black and black violence, the way that people normally talk about it, it's in relation to gang violence, I would say.
Yeah.
And gang violence is obviously indicative of a systemic issue. It's because people are, like, poor and disenfranchised. There's, like, a drug war going on in this country. People have nowhere to turn. People go into gangs, kill each other. That's something that happens. It's totally important when people do talk about that, but it's interesting when people kind of point it towards just saying, we've also got to stop killing each other. Like, they'll say, we need to handle this issue of police violence, but they'll say, we've also got to stop killing each other. And usually when they say that, they say it out of context, and they don't say the things that need to happen in order for people to stop killing each other, like how people need jobs and education and stuff like that.
Oh, my God. Yes. Yeah.
But they also don't talk about, like, they're only referring to gang violence, and they're not talking about the fact that, like, black women are being brutalized and black trans women are being brutalized by the black men in their same community. So it's like people are, like, trying to, like, signal boost this issue. I don't know why I've said signal boost so much this episode. People are trying to signal boost this issue, but they're totally eliminating black women from the conversation again. So it's harmful to eliminate black women from this conversation. One, because when black women are brutalized against, whether it be in regards to, like, domestic violence or, like, hate crimes against black femmes and black trans women and stuff like that, number one, people in your community are dying, and you should give a fuck.
Yeah.
But these are, like we said earlier, the same exact people who are always on the front lines when black men have been killed in police brutality. Like, for example, on my timeline, when Alton Sterling was killed, there was, like, 3 black trans women who were like, okay, so tomorrow we're going to be in Union Square at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because there are several black men who would, like, turn a blind eye when someone who looks like them has been killed. And then it's also important to look at this issue because like how black on black crime in regards to gang violence is indicative of like poverty and stuff like that and no education. Black on black crime in regards to how black men, black cis, straight black men kill black women and femmes and trans people is indicative of other systemic issues, namely misogyny, transphobia, homophobia. And this is just my personal belief. You can tell me if you agree or not. But I think it's easier to tackle misogyny, transphobia, and homophobia within a community, for example, the black community, because no one's actually benefiting from that in the end. Like how toxic masculinity and things like that hurt black men because they're not comfortable with sharing their emotions and things like that. And like it breaks up the normal family dynamic because it allows for men to like beat on women and stuff like that. It's just interesting to look at that in contrast to white supremacy, because when we're trying to fight against white supremacy, the system that we're fighting against is actually benefiting white people. So white people are going to want to push back against it, but there's no reason for black men to fight against misogyny, because misogyny is not actually helping them, and transphobia is not helping them, and homophobia is not helping them. It just like puts us in little boxes that don't allow us to fully express ourselves and things like that. And then also, it's for our benefit to work on these things, because it'll just make us like a stronger, more liberated black community. Like if everybody, like people often make black women and like black trans people shut up by saying, okay, we'll focus on your issues later and we'll just like do this whole main goal for now. But if everybody's issues were fully addressed and we were all like happy and content within our own community, however you want to look at community, I think it would be like, we would have like a great, we would have a better mindset and like a better feeling of self-love and things like that to fight white supremacy in the first place. Tell me if that made any sense.
That made plenty of sense. I think that was an incredibly insightful and brilliant series of thoughts and ideas. Totally agree.
Thank you.
I think as you were speaking, I was thinking, you know, this is why I fucking love this podcast. Because basically you took a common basic bitch white supremacist response, you know, why don't we focus, what about black on black violence? And you like, I think you fucking nailed unpacking that, where like we do have our own goddamn issues, like other groups have their own goddamn issues, obviously. And they're, you know, being the homophobia and misogyny and transphobia that is in the black community, but it's not specific to the black community, I think if addressed, definitely does make us a stronger group of people.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's just kind of hard, because it's like, you know, how do you go about, you know, breaking down these barriers? Because I feel like systemic, I guess, like oppression and racism, as well as like I don't know, just the very things that you said were the reason why, you know, black on black crime exists.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like those are also some of the reasons, some of the things that keep, like, homophobia, transphobia, like, keep these other forms of oppression in place within our own group.
Definitely.
So it's like, how do you, like, we would be stronger, like, if we'd be able to fight these things off if we could work on ourselves, and how do we, like, I don't know, how do you go about uplifting and, you know, bringing some more self-love to the black community, or to black people, or like, at large, I suppose, even though I guess I have some hesitance with identifying a black community, because we're so, I don't know, we're so vast.
I hate that phrase as well. It's very odd. But I would go and call it the black community, just because there's just like a series of issues that we all face.
Oh, totally.
And that brings us together as a community of sorts, you know? Like, we're not in place or anything like that, and not in terms of behavior, because like we have stereotypes, like black people act like this, but like not everybody acts one way. But I really just think it's like the system of oppression and the way it weighs down upon us all in the same exact way is what makes us a community.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, as a group of oppressed people who are oppressed on the basis of our skin,
yeah,
you know, on these purely identifiable things. But it's like, so, you know, if that is the case, mm-hmm. how do we take that this loosely connected group of people and break down issues within us, if we're, you know, we're not like a unified
front. Yeah.
Simply because, like, white, I guess I wouldn't say that white people are necessarily unified. They're just like,
I don't think they're unified at all.
Yeah, I don't...
They're unified by the fact that they benefit from the same system of oppression yeah. that oppresses us. Like, that's why there's a white community, really.
Yeah, so I want to call it, like, it's an imagined black community. People, it's like, mm-hmm. We can do better, we must do better, our people must do better. But it's just, like, our people, like, here's me in my apartment, I'm a gentrifier in this mixed neighborhood, and then there's, like, you're chilling in the suburbs, and then, like, someone's down in Louisiana. And it's mm-hmm. like, how is this... How are we nationally going to improve upon a group of strangers? You know,
right.
It's rough because I think we're suffering from racism. You know, from being just a group of strangers being treated as one when we are in fact not. You know,
yeah.
like the myth that like MLK for example. Oh no, it's the idea of the black church being mm-hmm. like this massive unified group of people when like MLK and like a bunch of religious groups were. being all civil rightsy and whatnot, so like I did research into like the myth of the black church or the black church, and there was no like giant like oh everybody was coming together with spirituality. It's like really just pockets of people who are active, pockets of people who didn't want to help MLK, and I feel like that's the same with black people. Like we're all suffering from this shitty thing, mm-hmm. but like we have to. I think we might be being forced to create communities to protect ourselves, mm-hmm. and I think that's. Kind of the brilliance and the genius of the Black Lives Matter movement.
Totally.
Because you are taking kind of disparate, separate people and saying, hey, you might not have much in common because we're not all the fucking
just
same.
Just a diverse, varying yeah. degree of people.
Yeah. But we're going to come together, put aside, you know, our minor differences, or our major differences, mm-hmm. and, like, address massive tragedy that's occurring to people based on this arbitrary thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's complicated in the fact that, you know, queer black women are the people who saw this and were like, you know, we're going to do something, and just picking up steam is extremely impressive.
Mm-hmm. That's why I think that things like this podcast are the greatest thing in the world. But no, I think that's why things like this podcast are important, because I don't know how many people actually know that. Like, I know that you and me know that, because that's just like... how we are as, like, socially conscious people or whatever. That's just, like, what we're open to researching and the information that's coming to us via how we, like, filter our social media feeds and stuff like mm-hmm. that. But, like, people need to fucking know the people that are fighting for them. Where should this be taken now?
I think we can go into, like, the specific black women. I guess it's, like, here's some specific instances of black women being badasses.
Okay, we can go into that. Yeah, so just, like, so that you know and understand and open your eyes and don't think about this solely, like, if you are a black, straight, cisgender man who's listening, like, we don't want you to think about this solely as your issue, because although it's affecting you, it affects everyone in a varying degrees of ways, because, like, whatever, police violence in general...
fucks up communities.
Hurts. Yeah, it fucks up communities, and then when, like, dudes die or are sent to jail, like... oftentimes men pair with women or whatever, mm-hmm. families are left broken, you know, and that then fucks up the entire community, because then there's no people to work there, so it like affects us all or whatever.
Exactly.
And then the police brutalize us in a varying degree of ways that don't just include being shot or whatever.
Yeah, we're not anti-black. men.
That would be so weird,
right?
My brother is a black man, and I love him.
Exactly. My brother, he too is a black man. My father is a black man.
Exactly.
What we're really saying is that the police brutality specifically against black men is extremely important, but you can't forget, like, who's marching, who's organizing. Like, it's not just black men standing up for black men. This is, like, black women, black queer people, black trans people really going ham for all black lives.
Exactly.
Really drive that home. It's all Black Lives Matter.
Exactly.
And within, like, the Black Lives Matter.
The root of the problem, which is, like, white supremacy, patriarchy, capitalism, the root of the problem that makes police kill black men and black men get sent to jail more is it's the same root that makes black women be killed at the hands of black men, honestly, because, like, that's patriarchy. And yeah. The fact that black women get paid less than black men, it's, like, all of the same cause, so, like, we're all being affected by it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's complicated.
It is so complicated. These are things that are, like, so much easier to write about and like just reason your thoughts, but it's like you kind of have to like keep referencing back to things, and if somebody doesn't know what you're talking about, you want to like make it explicitly clear, because I know that everyone that listens to this podcast is not like a fucking social justice activist or anything like that.
Exactly. It's like hard, like breaking down why capitalism sucks, how patriarchy works.
That is hard.
Why masculinity sucks, and how like masculinity and femininity are kind of, they can be these toxic, poisonous things.
All right, so just like a couple of instances of Black women just putting their lives on the fucking line. So like in Philando Castile's situation, just the fact that Diamond Reynolds taped that in general is incredibly brave.
Oh my God.
I don't want to like negate anyone else's bravery ever of like, because just shooting the police in general, and I mean filming, not killing them. But like, that's legal, but police will like knock your phone out of your hand, tell you to get back, raise their gun at you or whatever. So you're already putting your life at risk. But the fact that she was in the car with this man right after that happened.
I swear, there's some people who, I wonder if she just went into hero mode. You know, mm-hmm. where it's like people are like fight or flight. She must have been like, all right, am I gonna civilian or hero right now?
Yeah.
Like, you know, because and especially since the guy who filmed Eric Garner's murder,
he's going to jail for four years.
Yeah.
The police have been bothering him ever since that happened on like bullshit charges.
Yeah. So it's even like even trying, just standing up for people could, you risk your job. Like if you know, she has a kid, you know.
Exactly.
If she goes to jail, who's taking care of her child?
Mm-hmm. Also a man who just, I mean, the police officer who just pumped four bullets into a car with a kid in the backseat, and she went and grabbed her phone.
Exactly.
He could have thought that was a gun and pumped four bullets into her.
Could have shot her easily.
Exactly.
Easily.
Mad fucking brave. Look at what she did for her goddamn boyfriend.
Look at what she survived. Yeah. Oh my gosh. And she's so vocal about it now. Democracy Now, always love Democracy Now, was showing her speaking. I'm not sure where she was, but she was explaining why she did it. And she was like, I wanted to show what happened. I wanted to show people that this is not okay. They are out here to kill us, and this is wrong. And, you know, I do not want people to get away with it. That's why I filmed this, because I was not going to let this, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to keep suffering. I'm not going to suffer this tragedy. And I don't want, and she's also like, I don't want other people to suffer like I've suffered.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, you do that at the risk of your life in like a blink of an eye in a second.
Also this week, Issa Rae didn't put her whole fucking life on the line, but Issa Rae created a scholarship for the kids of Alton Sterling.
If you don't know Issa Rae, she is Black female online personality actress gone from YouTube to HBO, killing it.
Yeah. Total badass. Mm-hmm. And then, like, we can, like, peel back layers here a little bit. Like, Alton Sterling did not deserve to die. Nobody deserves... I don't believe in the death penalty. I don't think anybody deserves to die. But nobody deserves to die on site without a trial for doing nothing. But there's no but. He also was a registered sex offender. So at some point in his life, he sexually assaulted a minor or whatever, and he has that charge against him. I don't know, we're not going to know the person who he sexually assaulted was, but Black man, Black neighborhood, it was probably a Black child. It was probably a Black girl. And fucking Black women marched for him, organized for him, created a scholarship for his kids. There was no, wait, but you did this to us. There was nothing like that. Like, there's always, like, this myth where it's like, Black women hate Black men or whatever, and we like purposely sabotage situations and things like that. It's like, oh, we literally put things aside all of the time.
Yeah.
He committed a heinous crime against a little Black girl. Nigga still did not deserve to fucking die.
No, yeah. Like, you have to be, like, we're so goddamn, not saying that like women are more mature than men, but like we are showing with the support, like, how fucking thoughtful we're being. Just thoughtful and genuinely concerned with your well-being, you know, not any sort, we're not trying to, like, enact our masculinity or, you know, be, like, tough people. We're just trying to, like, show love.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like so many shitty stereotypes about Black women. Yeah. When you said, like, we're trying to, like, sabotage Black men or, like, oh, your girl's like this and...
Yeah.
Like... That, you know, that actually, you've, like, kind of, like, sparked a rage in me now about that. Like, I'm usually not bothered. I'm like, oh, yeah, whatever. I don't care what people feel about their girlfriends. But, like,
Show us some goddamn respect.
Please, for fucking once. For yeah. fucking once. Mm-hmm. I just imagine how, like, certain black trans women feel. It's like, people, like, shit on their entire existences. Like, just slur at, like, it's not even, like, I feel like transgender people right now are, like, the only people where it's, like, if someone says a slur against them, like, the T word, for example, like, people won't be like, whoa, what the fuck is your problem? Like, in the way that if people use gay as an insult, people would be like, whoa, why are you saying that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, this
yeah,
happens rampantly. Yeah. Like, it's a joke to people. But they'll fucking organize for your life.
Yeah, and oh my god, let's talk about the death of that the trans person that wasn't covered. Yes.
So exactly a month before Alton Sterling was killed, in Louisiana as well, a woman by the, it might have also been Baton Rouge, a woman by the name of Goddess Diamond was killed. She's a transgender woman, a transgender black woman. She was 20 years old, and she was the 14th trans woman to be killed this year. So, like, if you talk about, like, stats and epidemics or whatever, like, in the same way that black men being killed by the police is an epidemic and we're raising issue and bringing light to it, black trans women being killed oftentimes by black and brown men, cisgender, straight men being killed is also an epidemic, but no one ever talks about it aside from black transgender women and other transgender women. White gay people don't really talk about that shit too much. Some black feminists will talk about it, but a lot won't. It's like you have to be very intersectional in your intersectionalism to be talking about this epidemic that's happening. But on the flip side, the people that this epidemic is happening to arrange things when you die.
So true. And I wonder if this is just like how just like privilege and oppression works on not to give anybody like a pass or an excuse, but like, you know, when people are super privileged, like, you know, I see how you might not understand or even recognize different forms of oppression, like white, cis, rich man working for the state or something. Like, I see how you might not understand, like, the plight of, like, a, you know, like, the black trans woman.
No, it's totally true. Like, you don't have to think about these things because they're not happening to you.
Yeah.
The only reason why I think about this is because, like, I've just, like, researched over time and interacted with people and talked to people and worked in places where things like this are talked about or whatever.
Yeah.
Honestly, in terms of, like, police brutality and stuff like that, because it, like, does happen to black men more, I did not, like, I thought it was sad or whatever. I was kind of scared at some points in my life, but I really was awakened when Trayvon Martin was killed because it makes me fucking cry. It makes me think of, like, my little brother being killed or whatever.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't have to like have someone in mind when you are fighting for someone else's liberation or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. You shouldn't always have to have it
like link it
to
someone. Exactly.
In order to care. Cause I think the point that I was trying to make, but then it actually is very brave and thoughtful and heroic for trans, like, black queer, like, black trans people to care so much about, like, cis black men, because they're not obligated. Like, you know, they have so many things, like, working against them, like, so many people working against them and their existence, you know, just the fact that, like, you have to give a shit, you know, just because you are under these oppressions and you see them doesn't mean that you have to, doesn't make you, like, obligated to act. Like, I was going to say that, like, the ultimate privileged person might not see oppression, therefore doesn't act on it, but the most oppressed person, because they experience it, therefore they're more likely to act. But like, it's just, I think it really takes an incredibly incredibly decent but like very strong people to say, you know, this does not have much to do with me, or this has everything to do with me, and I'm gonna stand up for you despite you shitting on me, attacking me, killing me, hurting me. So I guess basically that was my small love letter to the black trans and the people of color trans community, because God bless them.
Yeah, they're like literally always doing it.
They're heroes.
They really are.
They're unsung heroes. The idea that they were just erased from the gay rights movement,
Yeah, totally. You know? Completely.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Absolutely, completely.
And that's what's happening here with the
Exactly. The and then if we don't, I mean, that also happened in whatchamacallit, like with the civil rights movement of the 60s. I literally don't know that many people because I feel like people have been erased or whatever, but it's like darker skinned people, like, God, what the fuck is her name? The woman who was Rosa Parks before Rosa Parks was Rosa Parks.
I just call her the before Rosa Parks.
That's fucking sad that we can't even remember her name, but this woman was, like, darker skinned, not as respectable as Rosa Parks, had a child, I believe a child out of wedlock, when she was, like, a teenager or something like that, or very young. Mm-hmm. She did exactly what Rosa Parks did before Rosa Parks did it. No one fucking knows her name or whatever. Bayard Rustin, who, I think he, like, actually organized the March on Washington. Like, the whole, like, obviously not by himself or whatever, but he was, like, the main person, like, the driving force behind it. Nobody fucking knows his name because he was, like, a gay black man or whatever. Who else? Who's that woman? Ella Baker? Who, like, ran SNCC or whatever? Like, she was, like, an older black woman, the driving force behind SNCC.
Oh, my God. Yeah, people don't know the fucking SNCC. And, like, the civil rights movement was also riddled with misogyny.
Exactly.
And classes.
Like, exactly.
Like, your liberation is not going to be true liberation unless it is intersectional. If you're not thinking about every fucking person, like, you are allowing, you know, not that we're victims of oppression, obviously, but you're making it worse. Like, you say, all right, I'm going to put, you're just putting a Band-Aid on an issue. Like, it's going to keep, like, the wound's not going to stop bleeding because you're not actually doing anything to really stop it. Mm-hmm. You're saying, like, okay, here's, like, a quarter of this wound, you know, we can patch it up and heal that, and you're just letting the rest bleed. You're not going to heal. You're going to die eventually.
That is exactly what happened. We are dying, you know? It was also a very classist movement. I feel like we totally left out lower class black people, and by lower class, I mean lower income black people, and I think that's where, like, police brutality and police violence has really been festering for, like, the past, like, between the civil rights movement and now, and it's kind of, like, bubbling over because we're in an economic crisis, and people just, like, are resorting to other things, and we're being shoved into, like, worse and worse neighborhoods and stuff like that. But, like, really, people were, like, experiencing this shit for, like, 30 years. Like, drugs were, like, injected into, like, poor-ass black communities. Like, people were forgotten about. Like, middle-class black people forgot the fuck about poor black people. Or, and look at where we are now.
I think it's a mix of either forgetting or, like, intentionally saying you, like, not understanding.
Yeah, it's not even like people forgot. It's also like some people were just like, well, I'm a good black person. I pulled myself up by the bootstraps and
you're a bad
bought into that fucking American dream and this is the result.
Exactly. Yeah, this is the black people have to do better. But it's like, okay, if you think that, like, the low income poor black people just need to get their shit together to stop being killed, like, why don't you fucking do better for them? Why don't you look up, you know, how the most oppressed of the oppressed, what they're actually going through. Like, you be a better fucking black person yourself.
Yeah.
And fix this problem.
Yeah.
Because you're contributing to the issue by being ignorant and by leaving people out.
Mm-hmm. Two other instances. So, in Ferguson, I mean, there was just, like, mad women organizing in Ferguson and stuff like that. But, like, a story that came out of that was the fact that these two organizers named Brittany and Alexis, who were, like, always and often on the front lines, fell in love in Ferguson, you know? And I think February of last year, they actually got married and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And people were on Twitter responding to their wedding pictures, like, this is, like, derailing the movement, and this is wrong, and why are you guys doing this, and you're just trying to bring attention to it. And honestly, it was because they were two women, you know? Like, if it was a man and a woman who got married out of Ferguson, people would have loved it, shared it. It would have been, like, fucking Ava DuVernay would have been directing that shit next year.
Yeah. Exactly. It would have been real picked up in every single black love media outlet relationship goal.
Exactly. But it's because, like, it's, like, queer women, the fuck? These people, like, risk their lives for you. They currently have, I have one of them on Facebook, they, like, have, like, a current, like, Brittany and Alexis fund or whatever because of, like, all of the, like, legal fees that they've racked up because they've, like, been arrested several fucking times.
Oh, my God, yeah. Oh, my God.
This is for you. Like, Ferguson, that was Mike Brown. That was a cisgender, presumably. I'm pretty sure it was cis. Presumably straight black young man.
Yeah, and here queer people are literally going into debt.
Exactly.
Their whole life, Like, I'm such a safe fucking person. I love my couch. I love my apartment. Mm-hmm. I don't do too much. Like, I have protested and will do in the future. Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't put my job at risk for mm-hmm. very much. Mm-hmm. I always show up to work. And there are people who are just like, all right, I'm putting my life aside.
Yeah, I'm putting my life on hold.
I will chain myself to a fucking ladder in the middle of a freeway for you. But that shit's happening. You know, like, I just wish people would show just some respect. Or, like, just don't criticize if you... Oh, it's like what Jesse Williams said. Like, if you don't have a history of criticizing, like, the oppressor, like, don't criticize the resistance.
Totally.
I feel like that happens so often. It's just like, oh, I see queer, I see trans, I see all this. This is not respectable. This hurts black people because you're a fucking transphobic, homophobic, sexist exactly. person. And you see that it's not hurting the movement. It's not hurting anyone. Like, your mindset is what's actually harmful and what exactly. we are fighting against. But you're like a huge part of the problem.
Like, Black Lives Matter was founded by three queer black women. So, like, if you're following the hashtag, there is, like, actual woke shit, actual intersectional womanist feminist shit that is, like, coming to your screen. Like, at this point, you, like, have to know someone who is talking about this shit. At least one person. Listen to them. So last instance, just, like, thoughts of women putting their lives on the line. I was just thinking, like, whenever you see protests or whatever and, like, the families of former victims of police brutality come on screen or whatever or interviewed or whatever, they're just oftentimes the mothers of these people. I don't know why it even breaks down like that. There's this documentary called Every Mother's Son, who one of my old professors directed, and there's also this documentary called Profiled that me and Shanika worked on. And they just both focused on all of the women who... are the family members of these people. And once these people, like, die or whatever, they dedicate their whole entire fucking lives to seeking justice. And they never fucking get it, really. It does not happen. Like, working on that documentary was, like, shit. It was like, wow, there really is no hope or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, there's certain women who the director, Kathleen, was following who... like, their sons were killed 20, 25 years ago.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And there's just no redemption. And they, like, go out every week. They do things where they, like, go up to the governor's office in Albany or whatever, because Profiled only focused on women in New York, and I think Every Mother's Son also focused on women in New York. They're both New York-based directors.
Yeah.
But... like, they'll go up to Albany to speak to Governor Cuomo to have, go to this hearing and say why they want, like, an independent prosecutor in instances of police violence against people, like, when that comes to courts or whatever. Like, this is just, like, time, money, effort. They have other children, goddammit.
They don't have to do that.
They don't.
They don't have to.
They don't have to do that. And it's not only, like, they do it for their son or whatever, their family member, because, you know, that makes sense. They do it for everyone else.
Yeah.
They're trying to tackle the issue. And there's so many women who are doing it.
And they're also doing it, I think they're doing it for themselves as well, because nobody else is fucking standing, you know, who is standing up for them, you know?
I just have two more, well, I actually have three more points. All right, so, so there's, like, this discussion of the revolution. Some people are like, well, it will happen nonviolently, and some people are like, it will happen, we'll, like, fight back, like, we'll literally fight back. Like, a war will happen, something will start. Personally, I'm just gonna say this really fast, I'm not going to, like, start the revolution myself or anything like that violently, but I just want to put it out there that I think that a state that has been built with and on violence is not going to crumble without violence.
I agree.
Like, just, like, if you think history-wise, just modern history, the Atlantic slave trade, all of the slave states that were built from there, the only free state was Haiti. No other people, like, revolted and... no other slave state revolted and took control of their place and, like, liberated themselves or whatever. Haiti was the only place that did that. That was a violent-ass revolution. Like, babies were being torn apart.
Oh,
like, it was not pretty.
Oh,
like, Dessalinas would fucking... like, he would order that white allies be killed. Wow. Like, people who were actually on their side, he ordered that they be killed just because they were French.
Wow.
Okay.
Don't know if I should go that deep, but I feel... I not deep, that's a little grim, because then John's got to go.
Yeah, I don't want that to happen or whatever, but personally, I mean, that's how I feel. I think that the violent state is not going to go without violence, but I'm not sure if anyone will ever bring it to the point of violence, and that's where it's like... I don't really have any hope for this country at all.
You know,
I don't think it's going to make it. I don't think...
Oh, that America...
Yeah, I don't think it's going to last very long. I don't think a revolution will happen, to be honest.
I think...
But I've had no faith for a while.
I think I hold on to hope because otherwise... It's just hard for me to operate not being hopeful, even if it's vague. Mm-hmm. And I can't necessarily back it up. But I definitely think, you know, we're not going to see any form of justice,
systemic major justice
in our lifetime.
Yeah.
Which is hard. But the idea that, you know, like, a state built on violence is, like, the revolution, it's already violent, you know, like, we're already responding to violence. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a one-sided war, kind of.
Exactly. Totally.
People are just like, yeah, violence is not the way to go. But violence is what's making this happen.
Exactly.
Police are killing people. Like, mm-hmm. if we don't,
killing people, brutalizing people, but also, like, starving people. Like, we're treating people, like, violent mentally or whatever. Like, people's water is fucking poisoned.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just, like, bullets. Like, everything about it is violent.
Yeah.
The way that white people interact with us is violent.
Yeah. Even small acts of... Even microaggressions.
Microaggressions. Like, it's called aggression.
Because mental health is a real fucking thing. And every single day, every time, you know, we're made aware of... someone has died, there's been a police killing, we have to fucking walk around with these people looking at us or being afraid of conversations, and, like, it's fucking stressful, and cortisol is, like, the what do you call it? It's, like, the stress hormone or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that actually increases people's, that lowers people's life expectancies if you're too mm-hmm. stressed all the time. Mm-hmm. So even if you're not, like, you know, if you're not personally living in a neighborhood with a lot of police violence, or you are not subject to police violence yourself, the psychological damage is nationally felt.
Yeah.
So it is a war, physically and psychologically across this country. Because, like, Ferguson, for example, was a very violent outburst and reaction. I guess because I think that people are going to, it's a pressure cooker. If you think about gentrification, people moving to these shitty places or situations getting worse, because there are many places that are still segregated, mm-hmm. and we are dying at quicker rates. Like, people are going to be moved to violence because that's going to be our only option. Like, people need to not go to work. People need to, what the civil rights movement was doing, where, like, people were dedicating their time to feeding each other, and, like, so when activists could, like, go out. Like, we need to seriously disrupt everyday life across this country on the daily for as long as it takes to make a point.
So that makes me want to jump around here
mm-hmm.
In regards to, like, talks of the revolution or whatever. Like, the revolution has to be... intersectional, but, like, in a different sort of way. So in terms of, like, protesting and actions and stuff like that, there's just a lot of people who cannot participate for, like, a varying degree of reasons, or can't participate mm-hmm. in the way that people who are saying that the revolution has to be, like, in the streets, like, people can't do it that way.
Yeah, because if you can't walk, or you're too old, or you're, like, you
exactly,
know.
Exactly. Well, like, for example, me, like, I had no issue going to a protest before. Like, it was scary, and... fucked up or whatever, and something might happen, but I had no qualms about being arrested. You know, like, nobody wants to be arrested or whatever, but there's, like, nothing holding me back from being arrested.
Yeah.
Especially because I was, like, working at a place that would be okay if I got arrested at a protest, you know? They'd probably actually, like, be like, woo, go sit.
They'd welcome you back in 2 months.
Yeah, exactly. But now, like, being a caretaker and having to, like, go home to someone, otherwise, like... the person is asked out and someone else has to, like, give up what they do as a profession or, like, school or whatever to go home to that person. Like, I'm, like, responsible for someone. Like, people who are caretakers cannot fucking risk that shit. People who are mothers, like, single mothers and stuff like that, can't risk that shit.
Or, you know, some do and some have, but it's, like, it's asking a great deal.
It is.
You're asking a great deal of people, you know, that level of sex, that's sacrifice.
Yeah,
you know, that's intense sacrifice. And I'm wondering, like, can a revolution happen without people putting their lives on the line?
Well, I think that it has to be, like, you can't expect everyone to do so. Otherwise, everyone's fucking, like, going to die or whatever. Like, I'm just thinking about, like, the zombie apocalypse or whatever. But, like, when people are going to hunt for food and stuff, someone stays back with the children and the food and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. Or it's when you abandon your kids and you're like, all right. they have
And that's how, like, populations die off, because we've never put something in place to take care of children and, like, our elders and stuff like that. Yeah, so it's like only fun. Like able-bodied people will make it, and then when a kid happens, they, like,
you know, just,
it has to be accessible to everyone in different sorts of ways. Like,
it
can't just be able-bodied people.
Or I have faith that there will be a major uprising, but I think instead of violent, I think the right word is disruptive.
Yeah.
It needs to...
I would like for... this is fucked up to say. But, like, institutions to crumble, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Racist, shitty... I mean, I think police need to stop existing as a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Because it's just... Time and again, it shows that, like, police are an arm of a racist, patriarchal, white supremacist state. So as the police exist right now, even the
they're
idea of having...
They're inherently bad.
Yeah, there's no... They're good people, but I don't think they're any good cops.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, if you're over-policing an area, that's going to lead to more... Like, if, like, people are being, like, stopped, like, very frequently. Like, Philando Castile was stopped 52 times in the span of 14 years. And, okay, there were definitely some good cops harassing the fuck out of this man. And it was, like... that one, aka bad cop, that killed this man, but you're still, like, contributing to a horrible system.
Exactly.
So that's why I'm very, like, fuck the police. I'm like, done prefacing everything with there are good cops and bad cops. No.
Yeah,
because
it's
good
not
people
an individualized
people.
Thing. This
yeah,
is,
exactly.
like, a structural system of oppression that the state has placed on people. Like, the fact that there are quotas for tickets is incredibly
fucked up. It's so fucked up. There's no reason why our cars, like, they're, like, what do you call it? Like, how them making money shouldn't be based on, like, giving people, like, ruining people's lives, essentially.
Exactly, exactly. Like, and you can and very much will ruin people's lives.
Like
that creates
saying,
a cycle of people going to jail
exactly.
for no fucking reason because they get a parking ticket, cannot pay it because they're already in a fucked up community. That's why they got the ticket in the first place, because the community is over-policed, can't pay it. License revoked, how am I supposed to go to my job to pay the fucking bill in the first place, so I'm gonna drive without a license, and I'm gonna get another ticket for that, or be put in jail for that.
Exactly.
It's cyclical.
And you know, and who's making these traffic stops? You know, these good old cops just doing their thing, you know? Just, it's stupid.
Like, regardless of whether you got into policing because you wanted to help your community or not, like, you could be a great person, you might help your community in varying degree of ways, but you're also, like, a cog in this system.
Yeah, you
the system
need to
is
know.
Not good.
It is your fucking responsibility as a police officer to understand how policing works. Not just the whole, we're here to catch the bad guys, but also, like, if you're, like, a black cop, like, oh yeah, I'm from the hood, I understand these situations, like... You might, but do you understand, like, you have to, it's like when people are just like, you know, I know some good cops, or whatever, I know cops. It's like, okay, you know people around you, but you need to get on a ladder, like, take a fucking drone and get a bird's eye view of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, yeah, you're continuing to be this little cog. You don't see the whole entire system.
Totally, totally. It's like, it's very much like white people versus white supremacy. Obviously, people know white people. Sorry. Obviously, people know good white people.
Yeah.
But,
we all know a white person.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's not like the individualized white people who are enacting white supremacy on everyone. It's not like John is, like, in your apartment right now oppressing you. But John benefits from a system that does and is a part of a system that does. We don't hate cops, guys. Jeez.
Yeah.
When I started talking about the revolution or whatever, my main point, I'm just going to say this really fast, was just like toxic masculinity in regards to ideas of starting the revolution, like how a lot of people claim that they want to start the revolution, go out and fight back or whatever, but these are the same people who are not taking into account the fact that the quote-unquote revolution needs to be intersectional. And what I mean is, like, a lot of sexist, homophobic, straight guys who you're like, well, I'm glad that you're, like, woke a little bit, but you also don't actually give a shit about anybody but yourself, but you're also like, yeah, let's just fuck shit up. And I feel like that's just like masculinity for the sake of being masculine, because they don't actually like care or see the bigger picture of the revolution. Por ejemplo, that guy 2 years ago, his name was Ishmael Brinsley, who killed those two NYPD cops or whatever. He was like a lone wolf once again.
Oh, yeah.
But like right before he did that, he shot his fiance.
Oh, my God.
Like, do black lives really matter? Like,
no, not if you're shooting your black fiance. You don't give a fuck about her life.
Yeah, exactly.
Or the lives. Yeah, totally. You're so right.
Also, I was experiencing this when I did used to go to protests. Some protests were, like, organized by black women and stuff like that. And during the course of the protests, they would, like, tell all of the black women to, like, go to the front or whatever, because we're often, like, unheard and things like that. And, like, this one time I was at a protest and it was, like, it was someone who had been killed here. It was their aunt. It might have been a Kai Girly's aunt or something like that. I think she, like, organized the protest, and one of the organizers said, her and every other black woman come to the front. And there was these guys, these young black guys, and they were just like, y'all are just trying to get attention right now. Like, shut the fuck up. It's our time. Whatever. Blah, blah, blah. Like, what the fuck? It was just, like, boasting and, like, brute aggression just to be aggressive.
That's terrible. And
it was terrible. And I think that's just, like, a little tiny example of like the things that we see online when black and queer women do say things and say, these are why our voices need to be heard and taken into account in fixing this issue. And guys are just like, shut the fuck up. And it's our time now. And we'll deal with your issues later. Or like what happened with Brittany Alexis when they got married, an act of like great black self-love. People said they were derailing from the movement. Like, their existence fucking matters, one, but their existence definitely matters because people don't think it matters.
Exactly. Exactly. The very fact that you want to shut them up and tell them to disappear, tell us to disappear, is the reason. That's why we're here.
Exactly. That's why we need to say that we're here. You know, last 2 points. So I'm noticing a lot of woke celebrities, or like halfway woke celebrities. This is like the same point that we've been making for the entire episode or whatever so far. But there's just like a lot of black male woke celebrities who will speak out against police violence as it pertains to black men. But also it seems like they hate black women. Like Kendrick, like on the To Pimp a Butterfly album cover or whatever, it was like all black guys at the White House or whatever. And that was like a largely socially conscious album. A lot of people were saying this album is for us. But me listening to it, it didn't feel like it was for me. It felt like it was for black guys, which is totally fine because I'll listen to music for black guys. But also at some points, it felt like he hated black women. Like that, the video for This Dick Ain't Free, the fact that he's like comparing a black woman to the American government.
Yeah.
Like, we are not the people who are oppressing you. What the fuck?
It's like what John.
That was a violent ass video. That was a hard video to watch.
Oh, and I don't remember. I remember. I liked that it was like an artistic thing, but I wasn't like really like reading.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't violent. But I'm saying like.
No, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Like psychologically violent, socially violent, and misogynistic. Oh no. John was telling me that that's like a common thing, like when like old like blues music, when people are often talking about like women being shady and vile and shit, like they're using women as like a I forget the term for this, but like it's to represent the government, their metaphor of the government.
Uh-huh.
So oftentimes it's literally placing your hatred of a mass system of oppression on women. In an entire genre of music, like blues, that's totally not a new thing
that Kendrick is doing. What is up with that? Because who built this country? I mean, okay, black people really built this country, but who...
Who gave birth to this fucking country?
Yeah.
Quite literally.
Who made us come here? White dudes. Like, are you kidding me? Like, why would you put... That's just so odd to me.
And why would it be women? Like, why are we the downfall? Why are we the worst? Downfall?
Because we're always the downfall. We're either the downfall of humanity. Like, isn't that what Eve did or whatever? I guess that's why you guys all hate us so much.
Yeah.
Another guy, J. Cole, very outspoken or whatever. He did that thing on David Letterman where he sang that song or whatever. And everybody was like, yeah, this is for us. But I do not feel like J. Cole is for me.
I don't think
he likes black women.
Okay. I don't listen to J. Cole. But I'm...
Because he's boring, snooze. He just has that one song or whatever, and other things, but this one song sticks out to me because it always plays on the radio, where he's like, it's like, don't save her, they don't want to be saved, one time for my LA sisters, one time for my LA hoes, lame niggas don't know the difference. What the fuck?
Oh,
like, sexual women don't matter?
Yeah.
They're not your sisters? Like, fuck you, J. Cole, like, I don't care about anything that you do.
It's always like, in order for women to be seen as... Like, there's so much that can disqualify you from being, a respectable woman.
Exactly.
Like you're dismissed immediately. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, those hoes, those bitches. Sometimes, you know, those terms that can be used, kindly and with love and respect, and but you know the fucking difference, you know? And it's just, like, the moment you do anything that the rapper or the dude thinks is on a woman, like, or, like, it's like if we threaten your dick in some way, we're meaningless.
Okay. Well, I had other rappers on the list, but, you know, fuck them. But It's just, like, in regards to this whole thing when we were talking earlier about how, like, how do we fix this and kind of, like, bridge people together. The thing about celebrities is that they aren't experts in any way on social justice unless they've actually done the work to become that way, like a Jesse Williams or whatever. Yeah. But they're still who people look up to. And then it's also extremely detrimental when it's like, you have, like, your futures or whatever, and if Future says something, you're like, okay, you take it with a grain of salt or whatever. But people like J. Cole and Kendrick Lamar and Wale, who's also very misogynistic towards black women, you kind of, they're in this box of, like, conscious rapper or whatever, so people actually take what they say at face value. So there's, like, this whole generation of young black boys who are seeing this stuff happen, like, on the news and on social media or whatever, and they're, like, teaming to be, like, awakened or whatever. Like, they're teaming
to be active,
join this movement.
Activated.
Yeah, exactly. They've been activated or whatever, and they're already receiving messages from Kendrick, J. Cole, Wale, people like that. Like, they're already listening to that music or whatever, so now they're not only linking to what they say in regards to that music in regards to social justice, but they're also have been already linking to what they say in regards to their ideas about black women and stuff like that. So they already think that these guys are smart, and in some ways that they are, but in a lot of ways what they're saying is, like, extremely harmful and stupid. It's, like, downright stupid. But when it's coming from somebody like that, you don't think about the fact that you're leaving black women out of the conversation, or the fact that the ways that you shame black women hurt us all and hurt the movement and things like that. So I think it's good how, because there were a lot of celebrities who, like, didn't say anything at all. Like, for a certain point, Drake wasn't saying anything, and it was weird because he's, like, from Canada and, like, half white or whatever.
Oh.
And, like, he's, like, he's comes from, like, a middle-class neighborhood or whatever, but he's kind of, like, culturally appropriative to lower-class black neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, recently he said something or whatever, and I think a lot of celebrities are saying things because people get on Twitter and they're like, why aren't you saying anything about this? Why aren't you saying anything about this? We want to know your thoughts. So people have pushed certain celebrities to the point of actually taking a stand and making noise or whatever. But, like, we need to keep pushing celebrities, if you are the type of person who's, like, into doing that, to be intersectional in the stands that they're taking. Otherwise, it's going to be a repeat of, like, the 1960s, where it's all everybody for black men and black men for nobody else.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it'll lead to an incomplete revolution.
Exactly. Last point, this is just petty, but, like, people were talking about, hashtag I love black dick Twitter, where it's just, like, white women who fetishize black men, but black men who kind of fit into that because the whole thing is, like, to have you a white girl or a foreign girl or whatever, and they kind of, like, bond over the fact that it's fun to oppress black women or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
The women who do that and say things like that and hit up guys or whatever solely for the fact that they're black, while concurrently shitting on black women, are, like, incredibly silent in this moment. For example, Kylie Jenner, like, the woman has restructured her whole entire face to look like a black woman. has said absolutely nothing. So it's just like something to think about when you're like ogling over your foreign broad.
Yeah, that bitch like, don't love you.
Yeah, is she like really here for you? Like, we're here for you.
Yeah, my cousin. We're here. I don't even know you.
We don't even want to fuck you. I just don't want you to call me like a bitch out of nowhere and things like that. Like, we don't have to date. You can date whatever the fuck white woman, but understand when you're like propping her up as this symbol of purity and greatness and so much better than black women, realize that she doesn't really give a shit about you.
Exactly. My cousin actually just posted something on Facebook. She was, I guess a lot of people have been coming to her. She's just a badass. About like, you know, dealing with unfriending people. Mm-hmm. And like her response is like, basically, you know, those people aren't your friends because friends care about you. If you're hurting, they want to know that you're hurting and trying to help you out. Mm-hmm. You know? So there's nothing like loving in like appropriation. It's a love of a piece or part of you, but no consideration for your whole
being,
your well-being. Mm-hmm. So yeah, like it's like if you're one of those like, you know, team black dick with a hashtag I love black dick.
Yeah.
It has to be that awareness that it's dumb.
Yeah. it is. It sounds very stupid.
It's stupid. That's what is that it for fuck that?
That is it for fuck that, yeah.
Fuck that.
That's it for fuck that.
Now on to fuck it.
The topic of the day.
Self-care, self-love.
Yeah.
Self-loving.
To bring you up from that dark time when we said we want the world to end.
But we were hoping for violent revolution.
Yeah.
That it was all, yeah. So anyway, it's very important that you take care of yourself. So self-love, otherwise known as masturbation. Although masturbation is good.
Yeah.
Good self-love.
My favorite form of self-care, actually.
You're comfortable with
the day after. I think it was actually both shootings. I believe I woke up, masturbated, and ate a brownie. without like brushing my teeth and stuff. It was a good morning.
Wow. It's all before you got out of bed.
Yeah.
Like, why was the brownie in bed? I don't know. I don't know your life.
I got a fucked up life.
So, self-care. It's a sex, love, and dating podcast. And I think self-love is really important.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly in times like this. It's just kind of hard to exist sometimes. It feels very hard.
Totally.
You might just want to not, you might want to take a break, you know, like, Francesca Ramsey, writer, TV personality, was saying it's okay to skip the video. Just take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so I guess I have some stuff in here, or got some stuff to say about, the importance of self-care while woke,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then also just basic self-care.
Mm-hmm.
Audre Lorde's, one of her most famous quotes, possibly, caring for myself is not self-indulgent, it is self-preservation, mm-hmm. and that is an act of political warfare.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think self-care is real important, because when you are dealing with issues that are outside of yourself, you know, if you're trying to be a part of this revolution, you're trying to be, like, a woke, even if you're just trying to, like, so maybe you're not super politically active, you know, you listen to the show because we're funny, you don't really care about the political stuff we talk about, but, like, you're trying to be a good friend, good sister, good mother, good mm-hmm. husband. It's important to also be good to yourself, because if you don't like fuel your body and your mental health, you're gonna like get burnt out or get burnt out, which I feel like I've been for for like 4 years of my life. I just feel very tired, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So and I was kind of thinking, you know, why. You know, why do I feel drained all the time? Things that should excite me, why am I tired? Why do opportunities, instead of looking like opportunities, just feel like work? And why can't I acknowledge my own progress? It's because I'm not very kind to myself and not very good at self-care. So what's really important is just to say that, like, self-care isn't like, I know it's seen as like a luxury. In this web series, Sam and I talked to this like dope guy who's saying that, you know, for like health, physical health, working out is a fucking luxury to some people.
Mm-hmm.
working out. Seeing a therapist is a luxury. I think that should be, like, fucking free for everybody.
Yeah.
You can see a therapist if you need to. So it's like self-care is like another thing that is, it's become a privilege, but I think it's like a right to have some downtime to care for yourself, invest in your family, your friends, shit you like to do.
Mm-hmm.
And if you skip these things, you'll literally start to crumble. You produce that like stress hormone, cortisol, and it just makes your life bad and it's really shitty. So I guess we're going to share some ways that you can start taking better care of yourself, or at least listening, some tips on listening to your body and your mm-hmm. mind so that you can at least identify when shit is wrong. I want to start with, the physical self-care.
Mm-hmm.
So I came across this really cool interactive, like a self-care survey almost.
Oh.
And it asks them, it's like an interactive guide, and it takes you through like just an awareness of how you're doing. And I was like, this is interesting. And so I pulled up the article that I found it in. And the first thing under the article that it said was, if you're hungry, go eat something before you read this.
Wow.
And I was fucking starving. I didn't eat anything all yesterday. Mm-hmm. I had like brunch and nothing else. Brunch and several drinks. So I went, I made myself some eggs, and then I got back to the article. You know, it's like, oh shit.
Starting at the very root.
Yeah, so
Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Tell me who Maslow is.
Some psychologist who was like, this is like he created like a pyramid of basic human needs, and like at the very base is the thing that you need to get to like the next base. So like at the lowest level, it's like food, water, air, and at like the top level, it would be something like love or something like that.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
That's exactly what this is. It works like very similar.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this interactive flow chart. You can put a link to it. You can link to it in the description. But basically, you go to it, and the first question is, have you eaten in the last 4 hours?
Hmm.
And then it's like, if not, so then you click, like, you say no, and it's like, go have a snack. And then you come back to it. And you come back
That's
to
awesome.
It. The next thing is, just straight out, drink something. Like, drink some water, drink some soda. Don't beat yourself up over what you're eating, what you're not eating. Like, don't go through the whole, like food shaming, body shaming yourself over, like, what you can eat. Just eat something. Mm-hmm. It's good for you.
Totally.
Have you slept in the past 24 hours? How much? Are you tired? Could you benefit from a 20-minute nap?
This thing is, like, a best friend. Just, like, a really, really good friend.
It is. And it's, like, are you in pain? And it's like, whoa, that's getting real deep there. But it's, like, literally, do you have pain medication that you should be taking? Do you have a headache? Are you cold? Are you too hot? Like, how is your body feeling? Like, if you're injured, like, are you taking care of that? Like, I have shin splints.
Yeah.
So my shins, they're getting better, but it's like, okay, yeah, my shins do hurt sometimes. Why would I sit at my desk? Like, I can sit at my desk for like 8 hours and like do research for this podcast, but I can't stop for like 5 minutes and just put on some like, this like warming balm that I have so that my calves feel okay while I'm working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so are you in pain? Are you comfortable in your environment? Like, is it dirty, smelly? You know, are you around people you like? Do you not like them? So it's like, it goes through this, it's like a series of just, how are you doing right now? Like, actually.
Yeah.
Don't ignore it.
Wow.
Are you clean? Do you feel clean? Should you take a shower?
Yo, according to this, I am not doing well.
Yeah, I'm very warm right now.
I'm
very
hot thirsty. And hungry. And I stink.
Right? Damn. And I was reading this, I was like, shit. And I was just, I clicked through, I was just saying, yeah, I'm fine, because I wanted to see the rest of it.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, I gotta stretch. And then it goes into, like, your mood. This one in particular was a little more geared towards people with, like, mental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the questions were intense, like, you know, are you dissociated right now? Like, here's how you come back to yourself. Like, so if you have a personality disorder. But it's like, are you in a bad mood? Why? Do you feel anxious? Do you feel triggered, you know? Do you feel disassociated? Are you sad? Are you depressed? Do you know why? If so, like, address it. Like, if you don't, and then it asks you several questions, like, it basically what it drives you to do, because this thing is not a therapist.
Yeah.
It says, okay, it acknowledge that you're not feeling all right, and set a time to address it and to think about it. That's all it's asking you to do. Mm-hmm. It's not like, you know, go out and like, find a therapist immediately, go sit down, call your mother, like, do whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's, like, it's saying, are you feeling lonely? Yeah. Can you call, like, call somebody? Mm-hmm. So it's saying, okay, acknowledge that something's happening and that your body, like, you need something. And then go do it. Like, my desk is hella messy. So after this, I'm going to, like, I have, like, several stacks of paper. I'm going to work on one stack and get it a little bit smaller. I'll be a little bit happier, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And it's, like, these kind of, like, small acts of, like, oh, okay. So the misconception about self-care, or a big one, is that it has to be this, like, luxurious, spend a lot of money, you know, go to a restaurant, do drugs, go dancing, recreational drugs, not like a, gotta take care of myself with this heroin here, you know? But it's the fact that, okay, here's the quote. So that's like, self-care is not just these lavish things. It's kind of these day-to-day, almost like drudgeries, I would call them. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you gotta cook some food, you gotta put food in your mouth, you gotta put your head on a pillow. It's the harder, duller work of self-care is about everyday impossible effort. Oh, about the everyday impossible effort of getting up and getting through your life in a world that would prefer you cowed and compliant. I think our culture, particularly capitalism, our capitalistic culture, forces us to feel like if we're not being productive and we're not working, we're not churning away, then we're worthless, mm-hmm. you know? So time spent sitting down and painting your nails or in a bubble bath or, like, I've rewatched episodes of so many TV shows. I've seen so many episodes of Empire, like, 5 times, 7 mm-hmm. times, dare I say 10 times, because I fucking love the second last episode of the season, many times. But it's just like, if you're not working, there's something wrong with you. Yeah. And, or if you're feeling listless, or if, you know, like, maybe you should be applying for jobs, but you can't. You're calling yourself lazy because you can't do it. Maybe you just fucking feel sad and hopeless. And it's not that you're not being productive and you're not capable of, you know, being a great project manager or being a good employee. You're just, your environment is not right. It's not setting you up to thrive. And one thing I love about the feminism, this class I'm taking, is that it's a big focus is on finding your negative self-thought. It's basically a process of figuring out when you're judging yourself for how you're feeling. Like, you just, this, I guess this is more emotional self-care. If you have to say, okay, for example, here's something that's self-loving. So you're not doing well at work. You can't finish assignments. An unloving thought would say, oh, I'm lazy. I'm a bad employee. I suck. I can't mm-hmm. get this done. But a self-loving thought is would ask, what's going on that's not letting me succeed right now? You know? And that's like, if you approach yourself with that kind of love, you just won't be shitting on yourself all the time. Like, I feel like it's so hard to go through, like, you try to be a revolutionary, but we are also fighting these, like, a million little battles in our head on the daily. Like, every time you shit on yourself because you say something awkward, or, like, you know, you try to suck in your stomach when you walk past the mirror, or you walk into a room and you're, you know, you expect to be really bubbly, but someone intimidates you, and then you're shitting on yourself because, like, you couldn't find the words or you fucked up, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I beat myself up, like, a great deal, and it's, like, all that energy that's, like, put into beating yourself up, you know, it can be channeled into loving yourself, making yourself feel better, just accepting yourself as you are, which is extra hard. So self-care is complicated, but, you know, it's still very important. Even though, just because it's not, like, really accessible to a lot of people, or a lot of, like, these luxurious things are not accessible to a lot of people, doesn't mean that, like, you don't deserve them. Prioritize eating well to the best of your ability, obviously, you know. Eating well, exercise, and, like, rest, apparently. Those are, like, the pillars of things they make the rest of your life fucking better mm-hmm. by a lot. You just have more energy, you're healthier. And it's hard. It is real hard because I don't think society necessarily wants us to be healthy people.
No, it's not to the benefit of the state. That was a great deconstruction of what self-care means in the first place. I gotta reevaluate everything about my life.
Oh no!
Thank or, you. No, like in a good way.
Yeah, because I've just been like realizing that I haven't been taking very good care of myself.
Yeah, I don't think I have either, to be honest.
It's hard, you know? Because it can't just be, or it can be, obviously, you know, the small things. Like, I love to go to this restaurant. Like, that's an act. That is a self-care thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, this is me not doing that. I'm putting stuff down. But, like, also, self-care is, like, every single day, you definitely say one mean thing to yourself every day. At least one.
Mm-hmm.
At least.
Totally.
And what most people won't tell you is, like, a lot of people are struggling to like themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Or they think they're shit inherently.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, that's why, like, a lot of people get validation from going through, like, institutions. Like being a doctor, being a lawyer, working for the state,
mm-hmm.
or having a job, being straight. You know, we take so much pride in, like, when we have our privileges, like, sometimes we're really intense and happy about, like, being able to just get that validation. Mm-hmm. But if you're living outside, this is particularly for, like, you know, people of color, women of color, trans people, if you're living outside of general validation, a lot of time is spent, people are spending time shitting on you and looking down on you.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no real, like, this society doesn't have a safety net or any sort of system of care set up for us.
No.
That's why I fucking love, is it Heaven? Heban from Another Round on BuzzFeed's Another Round?
Yeah, Heaven.
Heaven, she started the hashtag, I think it's like Carefree Black Kids 2K16.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I had a kind of a revolutionary, like, mental moment where, like, it really kind of clicked for me why it's so important to be unapologetically Black and to love and celebrate Black people and not get caught up into thinking that you're just this suffering body. Mm-hmm. I feel like Black people, like, if we exist in a lot of public spheres, we're either entertainment or we're like, not torture porn, but, like, suffering porn,
mm-hmm.
you know? And just to see, like, okay, here's a Black woman with power, you know, the power to start a hashtag, which I fucking want that ability. Like, hopefully one day it'll happen.
We have a hashtag. People use it.
Yeah, we do. We're getting there. Mm-hmm. It's just not as mass as hers was, you know, to be written up by ABC and Cosmo.
Oh, it will be one day.
Yeah.
But also, fuck ABC and Cosmo.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. So, yeah, just to see, it's just, like, videos and pictures of, like, Black kids dancing and mm-hmm. being silly and ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, the one of the cutest fucking things ever.
Mm-hmm.
And just the idea that, okay, a Black person did this for me. Like, that's what, like you said, like, J. Cole and, like, the Kendrick To Pimp a Butterfly didn't feel like it was for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Beyonce's album felt like it was for me specifically.
Yeah.
This hashtag was for me specifically. And so that's why I'm, like, I feel like I've been, like, kind of on, not really on the fence, but there's been, like, I've had this internal hesitance about, you know, being, like, make things only for Black people or geared to speak just to Black people.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it's so important because so few people are actually doing it.
Yeah.
And, like, if you try to speak to these, like, broad audiences, you try to appease everybody in your life, try to seem respectable to everybody, nothing is happening for you.
Mm-hmm.
You just sit there dying and in pain and quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Quietly suffering. So I'm like, this has been a change in me. I'm like, not that I was ingenuinely, like, unapologetically Black, but now I'm like no fucks given.
Yeah.
Unapologetically Black.
That's a great way to
like,
be.
Yeah, like, I don't care. Fuck white people. No. takes the episode
going all the way.
We become Haiti now, where we're gonna be ripping babies in half, killing our white friends. what else? Read things about self-care and how to care for yourself that are based in, like, feminism, that are based, like, have an understanding that you might be a low-income person, or you might be facing, yeah, things that are sensitive to your struggle. Because if someone's going to say, yeah, go for a jog around your block. For example, like, Black men feeling uncomfortable with jogging in public because you don't want to be seen as, like, a threat or, like, someone's chasing you.
Yeah.
Or seen as suspicious, you know, in a particular neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So just places that are, take your self-love and self-care advice from people who understand you and care about you.
Very good point.
Also, surround yourself with people who love you and care about you. Like, I know a lot of people are, like, going on a defriending sprees.
Yeah.
You know, it always happens. Do it regularly and do it with people who are in your life.
Mm-hmm.
If someone has shown you twice that they don't give a fuck about you, they've treated you poorly, it's okay to disassociate from them.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right. Here's some tips from, what do you call it, from all this funny video Yeah, racial discussion fatigue syndrome.
Okay.
Which is, I think this woman just coined this term. Her name is, like, Smoothie Freak on YouTube.
Oh, that's Akilah Hughes, right?
I think it is.
Yeah.
On some of her tips are delete people from Facebook. You can also, like, if you don't like repeating yourself in, like, racial injustice conversations, mm-hmm. you can also just respond with, like, respond with a link. Like, you don't owe anybody your fucking time or an explanation.
Yeah, you don't have to synthesize information for them.
Yeah, just be like, oh, here it is.
Yeah.
And you can, it's also okay to, like, if you, like, setting your boundaries, like, I don't want to talk about this. I just don't want to do it. Sometimes you're, like, with a group of, like, woke friends, and woke friends sometimes talk about woke things very often.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you don't always need that. You don't always want that.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to just be like, I've been going through a lot right now, and I would love it if we can talk about anything else.
Yeah, totally.
Anything else. Especially since there's some parties that I'll go to, and it just becomes that. And I'm like, I'm trying to have fun.
Whoa.
Like, I'm trying to work. Yeah.
That's not a good party.
Yeah, it's not a twerking party. It's like a get-together, a gathering.
Oh, I see. Yeah, everything doesn't have to be, like, a discussion on how to break down the system, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Doesn't always that. Sometimes it has to be about ass.
You said ass?
Yeah.
That's true. No, that is true. I just wanted to clarify. It often has to be about ass, honestly.
In fact, it is mandatory that you discuss ass at least twice a day. Self-care. Did I tell you about the best thing I've ever said?
What?
Or John thought it was, like, one of the funniest things I've ever said. Is that, shit is, just, like, ass babies. Yeah.
I'm, like, amused and disgusted.
Yeah, your ass is just giving birth to shit. Anyway, so it's okay to be stupid. I'd let yourself loose.
Yeah, totally.
And then last thing. Oh, and then also, I think a lot of people struggle with this because we're all on social media. It's like this endless scroll. And if you're endlessly scrolling through, like, videos of people getting shot and murdered or choked by police, it's like, damn, it's a lot. So you may want
feels
to...
feels endless.
Yeah, you may want to curate or, like, limit your... You don't have to limit your social media use, but just be aware of when you're doing it. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe first thing in the morning and right before you go to bed isn't the best time to be exposing yourself to traumatic and sad news. Yeah, you could use that time instead to...
check in with your body.
Exactly. Meditation is apparently a very good thing, which I have never done successfully.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like just being calm and not thinking about anything. Mm-hmm. For like 10 minutes. Like, it resets how, like, your brain works.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, apparently meditation just makes you a fucking great person. I've been seeing a lot of articles on it.
Well, monks can, like, heat up an entire room with that shit.
Whoa!
Like, that's crazy to me. Like, in, like, the mountains where, like, the mountains are, like, snow-capped. It'll be, like, in a cave or whatever. And, like, four monks can make the temperature, like, 90 degrees. Like,
what? Shit. Oh, shit. Sorry. There's also, like, when it comes to, like, black love. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a form of self-love, you know. It's accepting and loving your identity.
Yeah.
It's also important to be intersectional with that as well. Like, mm-hmm. to be aware that the hashtag, like, black excellence can be classist.
Totally, it oftentimes is.
Yeah, so even with our black love and how we love and support other black people mm-hmm. for our own benefit,
mm-hmm.
Don't be a dick about it. That's, like, so common. You'll see the videos that are like, oh, Gabby Douglas does this before you even get out of bed. You know?
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to uplift people while shitting on everybody else. It's like, it's maybe it's a funny clickbaity title for a video for an article, but, like, you are making me feel bad. Yeah. Or at least I am feeling bad as a result. So sometimes it's, you can, like, when you read those things, maybe don't read them. You're like, well, oh, ah, another thing that I learned and read that I love is, like, the idea of comparing yourself to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, you know, people do this all the time frequently. And I was reading another Everyday Feminism article about how not to do that or how to do that less.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you feel yourself comparing yourself to somebody else. It's like, remember, it's like comparing, you can't really compare people. You can compare things about people, mm-hmm. but not, like, their entirety.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because you'll never know, like, everything they're coming from, dealing with their privileges, where they're oppressed. So if someone's doing well, to hold yourself to a standard, like, okay, that person's doing well, but they also have a whole system of support. You're not doing well. You're, like, basically shitting on yourself for not having resources you need to, like, succeed at something.
Mm-hmm.
That's not fair.
Mm-hmm.
So when you feel yourself comparing yourself to somebody else, I was told to stop for a moment, like, recognize that you're doing it,
mm-hmm.
and then say, well, I don't know them that, you know, I don't know everything about them. They don't know everything about me. This comparison doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. And so you take a moment to say, you know, that person, they are working hard. That person, they are beautiful. That person is very fuckable, but I too am very fuckable. I too am beautiful. And I too work hard. Yeah. That way you're saying, okay, you're awesome and I can also be awesome. Because I feel like the way our society is set up, it's like you can't have, like, multiple awesome people in existence at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a myth that we're all in competition with each other for certain personality traits.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, okay to say, hey, you rock, I rock, awesome. Some basic tips. And I'm definitely just going to get better at, or have a better understanding of self-care as I go through these classes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll share them.
Yeah.
It would be dope. I'd love to do, like, a self-care, self-love tip of the week or whatever as well.
We should totally do that. I'll write that down.
With every voice and till earth and heaven.
Hope you guys enjoyed that episode, or this episode of the Inner Ho Uprising. Tough times. Be aware and also take care of yourself.
Yeah.
That's the main takeaway.
Yeah.
This is the Inner Ho Uprising. I'm Sam.
I'm Shiga.
You can follow us on Facebook. Why did I start with Facebook? You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Periscope at @slam_pow. You can follow us on Facebook by searching Slam Pow Productions. You can follow us on YouTube by also searching Slam Pow Productions. Don't forget to use the hashtag Inner Ho Uprising whenever you tweet about the show. I'm Sam. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at @slamridd. That's RIDD. And you can find me on Facebook and Snapchat by searching SAMANNERZ Smanners.
I'm Shiga. You can follow me. Actually, not you can. Follow me, please, on Instagram at Shanika Powell. You can see my poetry. I'm writing poetry now. Or again, after years of not really doing it. Follow me there. You can follow me on Snapchat as Volcano Vulva. So, Snap and Gram. So I guess that's it, right?
Yep. Now leaving you guys with a little something
sexual. Little something sexual.
We are being peaceful. We are on the grass. Why are they here? It is because of them why we're here. So why the fuck are they here, sir? I'm tired of being peaceful.
We're on the grass.
I have lost three brothers to this, sir. Three! This is not all right. I'm hurt. You don't see my eyes. I'm hurt. My people out here hurt. I'm tired of this. I'm not sitting down. If I gotta die behind my pillow, I'm gonna die behind it. My kids after me, they gonna walk these streets crazy, just like everybody else can walk these streets crazy. I'm not standing down. I'm black and I'm brown and I'm strong.
Stand down.
Together we are strong. No justice.
No peace.
No justice.